assembly. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. Such a delight to be here this morning with you. I am the regular evangelist. I am. I don't tease Kenny because of anything he says. I tease him because I enjoy it. But welcome to our service. Thank you for being here. And open up the Word of God with us now, and let's consider something that is declared in the Word of God. I want to talk about drawing closer to God this morning. One of the subjects that I was given to talk about this year is this subject of getting closer to God. What a wonderful concept. Have God in your life. The problem so many people have in this world is they don't have God in their life. They're not close to God. I think a lot of that explains a lot of the ugliness that we see in the world around us. Specifically this morning, what I want to talk about is how do we know? How do we make our relationship with God real, personally, something that really is meaningful to us. And it ought to be. If you have God in your life and you are close to God, that's a beautiful, wonderful thing, and it ought to be real to you. It ought to be something that you really have a sense of in your life. Let's talk about that for a few moments. The passage we'll begin with is fairly obvious. It's in James chapter 4, verse 8, where James says to us, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, there are a lot of things in that context which are involved, as James points out, in drawing near to God. And one of those things, as he expresses in the rest of this verse, is changing your life. You can't get close to God if you've got a lot of sin and selfishness and wickedness in your life. You can't get close to God like that. So get rid of that stuff and get close to God. But you'll also notice that there's some obligation, you know. It doesn't just happen. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. That's practically true of any relationship. You want to get closer to your wife? You want your wife to get closer to you? Get closer to her. And do the things that you know will make that happen. It doesn't work any differently. Things that we know that we can do in our life that will get us closer to God. And as we get closer to God, it will be real. We will have a sense of having a real relationship with God. No question about that. And you know this in your own life. You know this in your own life because there have been times in your life when you felt really close to God. And there are times when you haven't. There are times when you've had a real sense of the presence of God in your life, and there have been times when you felt God was distant, and it wasn't his fault. Draw close to God, and he'll draw close to you, and it will be real. It will be meaningful. It will be significant. Now, you know, you have to ask yourself the question, do you? Do you feel close to God? So, an opportunity for all of us this morning to be a little self-reflective and to think about this subject. Do you feel close to God? You ought to. You want to. Yeah, I understand all of that. But do you? Most people have a conviction that God is real, that God exists, that he's there. We Christians especially have confidence that God is real, that there. And yet many have trouble feeling a sense of connection to Him. And it ought not be that way. Look at this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. Here Moses is praying and he's making this declaration to the Israelites. He says, "The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Do you feel that way? You know, if Moses could say that for the Israelites long ago, how much more should we be able to say that? Those of us who have drawn close to God through the blood of His only begotten Son. Those of us who have been purchased by the sacrifice of Jesus. Who are His children. That He goes with us. That He will not forsake us. That He will not fail us. That He will not abandon us. That He is with us wherever we go. Are these words that express Gideon's disconnect from God? Gideon suffering through a period of tribulation, his family, fellow Israelites. And the angel of the Lord comes to him, and Gideon doesn't know that it's the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord says, "The Lord's with you." And Gideon says to him here in Judges 6 and verse 13, he says, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then is all that happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about? The Lord's abandoned us. The Lord's not with us." Gideon felt, Gideon thought, wasn't true. The reality was the angel of the Lord was standing right in front of him. The reality was God was about to do such a marvelous and powerful deliverance of Israel. But Gideon wasn't feeling it. Now, whose fault was that? Gideon didn't have a sense of the reality of the presence of God. But it was real. He was right there. Or this passage in Job chapter 9 and verse 11, because Job certainly felt disconnected from God. Even though God was there, Job did not cease to believe in God. He just didn't understand. He didn't see. He didn't know why. It felt like God had abandoned him because of all the trouble that he had in his life. And Job says about this, "I want to see him. I want to encounter him. I want to know that he's there." But he says in Job 9:11, "Were he to pass by me, I would not see him. Were he to move past me, I would not perceive him." Wouldn't even know he was there. Is that how you feel? This statement that Jesus makes to his disciples and to all of us before his ascension up into heaven. Jesus ascends up into heaven, but he says, "Look, I'm not leaving you behind. It's not as if I'm abandoning you." He says in Matthew 28 and verse 20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." How long is the Lord going to be with us? He's always with us. But we do have to have a sense, the reality of that, the presence of the Lord in our life. We need that. We should have it. Draw close to God. He'll draw close to you. Acts 17:27 expresses the idea that God's there. He's always there. But sometimes it's like we're playing blind man's buff. We're groping after him. Acts 17:27, Paul says about this relationship that we have with God. He says that that God made us that we should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. I find those words so amazing. We feel like very often we're stumbling around here in the dark, and yet he's right there. And not just for us generically or generally or as a race of humanity, each one of us. because that's the groping that we do, the reaching out. It's me reaching out, and God is right there. He is not far from each one of us. Knowing God is there and that He is present in your life is something that every Christian ought to have. Do you feel close to God? Well, how can I know? How can I know that God is in my life? How can I feel that connection? What can I do to draw near to God? Well, a lot of this is fairly self-evident. And one of those ways, of course, is to pray. Now, we all know that. In a person here who's old enough to pay attention to what I'm saying, who doesn't know the truth of what I'm saying. If you want to feel close to God, you need to talk to Him. That's not any different than anybody else, any other relationship in your life. Sometimes people have family members, have a brother or sister, and somebody says, well, are you close to them? And they say, I haven't talked to them in years. That's sad, isn't it? Why don't you call them up? Make that connection. Well, if that's true of anybody else, it's certainly true of God. It is so amazing how many times a day we check our phones. Do you do that? I do. Check to see. Someone texted me. Somebody's calling me. Somebody emailed me. Check your text. Check your text. Check. Text them back. Email them back. Those of you crazy people who do the Facebook. Do the Facebook thing. Oh, I got to do the Facebook. I respond. Made a comment. Stay connected, right? Well, put your phone down. And I'm talking to me too. Put your phone down and pray. The psalmist says in Psalm 17 and verse 6, I will call upon you, for you will answer me, God. Incline your ear to me for my words. What a beautiful, wonderful concept that at any moment, during any day of your life, you can stop whatever you're doing and take a moment and lift your mind and your heart up to the Creator of the universe and share your thoughts and your fears and your concerns and your needs and hopefully also your praise and your thanks and share a moment with your God. And when you do that, and you do it earnestly and sincerely, when you really think upon God sitting on His throne in all of His glory, when you think about Him, and you think about what He's done for you, and you express that to Him, doesn't He become real to you? Doesn't He become close to you? Of course He does. This passage in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Jesus says, just go in your room. Just go in your room and shut the door and pray to your Father. Your Father, who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. You don't think that was true for Jesus? How often He would go out and spend all night in prayer, go off by Himself and pray? Why did Jesus do that? Because it made Him closer to His Father. Now, Jesus, who is God in the flesh, who is God among us, Emmanuel, if He relished and desired and wanted and enjoyed going and talking to His Father and praying to His Father, if that's true. true for him, how much more do we need that connection, should relish that connection? And for us, it would be such an honor, a daily privilege to pray to God. Philippians 4, 16 and 17. Paul, in writing from prison, Paul could possibly feel disconnected, possibly feel abandoned, possibly feel somehow alone. And yet he doesn't. He's not alone. He's not cut off. He writes back to the Philippian brethren. He says, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I don't know how many times in my life I felt down about something, I felt bad about something, I felt kind of torn about something, and there are people that I can talk to. My wife is certainly one of them, my family members, some of the people here, especially, but God my Father, who watches over me day and night, take a moment. I'm having a difficult day or a problem. Take a moment and share my thoughts with me and my fears and my needs. And just as talking to some of these other precious people that I have in my life makes me feel better, and certainly makes me feel closer to him, when I do that with my Father, with my God, God's peace. You want God to be real in your life? You want a real connection with God? You do exactly what that verse says. And you do it constantly. And I guarantee you, you will be closer to God and feel closer. That's something we ought to do. We worship. Well, why do we come here? We come here to honor God, to praise God, to worship God, and to get closer to God. Absolutely, to get closer to God. You know why we do that? It's because he's here. Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 24, where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Now that statement means a lot of things in that context. But among the things that it means in that context, I believe that Jesus is saying we're connected. That there's a connection. I'm not off somewhere. I'm right there. He's everywhere. He's always with us. But there's a connection that we feel, that we sense, that we know. When we gather together with our fellow saints, and together we join our hearts together in prayer, and in song, and in worship, and in reading beautiful words such as this, we feel connected to God. We absolutely do. And that's not because of the place, it's because of the relationship. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, don't you know? Paul says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Now the yous here, these second person personal pronouns, are plural. They're plural yous. And that's why this particular translation, which I think is the NIV, brings that out by giving the plural, you yourselves, in your midst, that you together are that temple. It's not the sacredness of this geography. It's not these four walls. It's not these pews. It's us. That we together, when we come together, we constitute a temple of God, a house of God, a place where God's Spirit communes with our spirit. And that's a beautiful, wonderful blessing. I remember reading a story one time about one of our presidents, I forget which one, but he was in the habit of going to a particular congregation to worship. And the reporters would always call ahead on Saturday or Friday, would call ahead and pester the the preacher at that congregation and say, do you know if the president is going to be there or not? Do you know the porters just, they didn't care about it. They just wanted to see if they could get a picture of the president or get a quote from the president. Is the president going to be there? And finally, the preacher got kind of miffed about this, and his standard answer was, well, I don't know, but God will be there, and that's generally considered enough motivation for other people. I don't know who would you consider to be a draw to get you to come to church. But there's a real sense in which God's presence is here. And that is sacred. That is an honor. And I certainly have a sense of that. In our worship, when we take these elements of the Lord's Supper and we think about what the Lord's done for us. Certainly when we remember His Word. You know, the thing that makes us connected to people are the things that they say to us. And even when they're not with us physically, we often feel connected to them because we remember things that they said. I know that's true for me. Every once in a while, something will happen in my life, something will come up, and I remember something that my dad said. That happened to you, Ron. My dad's been dead for 10 years now. But he's still in my life. And the Lord is in my life. Because there's always things that are happening in my life, and I think about something the Lord has said. And that's exactly what the disciples did. Luke 22 and verse 61. Then Peter, when that rooster crowed, Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Oh, man. I don't think he felt the presence of the Lord in that moment. He remembered what the Lord had said, and man, he felt that. Or in Luke chapter 24 and verse 8, then they remembered His words. They put two and two together, and they remembered He said this. You remember what He said? And you better believe they felt connected. That was real. That moment was real. And it burned in their hearts, it said. Acts chapter 11, verse 16. Peter. Peter says, I was trying to understand what the Lord was doing in my life. These Gentiles called me to come preach to them, and I didn't know what was going on. It didn't make any sense to me. I didn't really quite understand it. And then I remembered, he said, I remembered what the Lord had said. And it suddenly made sense. Does that happen to you? It happens to me all the time. Why did that happen? What's going on? Why did they say that? That doesn't make any sense. And then I remembered something the Lord said. Oh, yeah. I see now. I understand. We see the Lord, certainly, and His presence in our life, in the care that He has of creation. And there are many examples that I could cite of this. And these words of Jesus are especially meaningful to me. Matthew 6 and verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than that? It's so interesting, isn't it? You come out on a cold winter's morning, and you have to kind of gather your coat about you, you know. You saw people down here, you don't know what cold is, but anyway, you go out there and you feel the brisk cold, and you go into your car, and you hear a bird chirping. you have to get up and go out to work, you know, and you're thinking about all the things you got to take care of today, and that bird's up there singing away, chirping away. You think, man, what that bird got to sing about? He just spent the whole night in a cold tree, you know. And if you think about it, you know, the Lord's taking care of that bird. heard it. We just sing it away. And the Lord's taking care of that bird. It becomes obvious to me that He's taking care of me too. And when I see things like that, I see them all the time. It just makes me realize that God is present, that He's here, that He's watching over me. As Jesus goes on to say about the grass in the field, you know, the flowers, look how beautiful they are. They don't spin, they don't toil, but they're arrayed like Solomon in all His glory. And He says, if that is how God, verse 30 of Matthew 6, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Flowers are already starting to pop out of the ground. Spring is just around the corner. And like clockwork, God's clockwork, they bloom and they're so beautiful. And every one of them is a testament to a Creator who watches and who cares and who arrays and who clothes. It's a beautiful thing, but you don't see it if you're not looking, if you're not paying attention, if you're not thinking about it, if you're so thick and absorbed with your own petty self-interest that you don't ever take a moment to look around you and to see the handiwork of God, then yeah, I can understand why you just think, well, I don't know that God's here. I don't see God. Well, I feel sorry for you if that's the case. I really do. Because the reality is He's here. He's all around. And His love is evident. You know, we see Him, of course, in His protection. He protects us. Genesis chapter 35 and verse 3. Jacob, who had lived many a hard year, having fled from his family home and from his jealous brother, and had to go and live in a foreign country and had to work for a father-in-law who didn't always treat him right. And yet, God had promised to take care of him, and that's exactly how Jacob felt. And he comes back to the place where all those many years ago he had slept out in the middle of the wilderness and his pillow was a stone and he had had this vision and God had made a promise to him that He would take care of him. And he comes back and he remembers that event. He remembers God's promise. This is what he says in Genesis 35 verse 3. He says, "Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone." What a wonderful statement for Jacob to say. Does that mean that Jacob never had a hard day? No, he had many hard days. Does that mean that his life was always easy? No, his life had been very, very difficult for a long time. And yet, when he looked about him and he saw his family, all his flocks and his herds, how could he feel any differently than the Lord has been with me, never left me? Do you see your own blessings? Do you see God with you? Psalm 23 and verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Does God being present in your life mean that you don't go through the valley of the shadow of death? No. No. You will. And we do. But He goes with us. There's no clearer indication of that than the fact that God Himself became a human being, lived as hard a life as any of us have lived, harder still. And through a death more arduous and more painful than any of us will experience, he walked through that valley, and he walks through it with us. He's with us. And the psalmist expresses, he expresses all of this. He says he leads me in the paths of righteousness. He leads me beside the still waters, and he leads me, and he's with me, even through the valley of the shadow of death. And even in that moment, I will not be afraid. Right there. His rod, his staff is gently guiding me. It's on me. I feel his presence. I know he's there. What a wonderful, wonderful thought. 2 Timothy 4:16 and 17. In my first defense, Paul says, no one supported me, but all deserted me, but may it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Well, I'll stop there. You know, sometimes I don't know. I don't know how to express to others what is so obvious to me. Isn't that challenging at times to be able to do that? But I hope perhaps in these passages this morning, some of what I'm trying to describe is clear. God is here. In this assembly, God is with us in the privacy of our closet when we pray. God is there when we have to face challenges and difficulties. He's there. He's there when we remember his precious words ringing in our ears, in our consciousness. He's there. He's always there. Have this commitment in yourself in the coming week. Think about this. Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Try to practice some of what I've talked about here this morning. If you're not a Christian, you can't get close to God. You can't. You're cut off from him. You are disconnected from God, and you will remain so for eternity unless you approach God through the only means and only avenue in which it is possible, and that is through Jesus Christ. You have to obey the gospel. You have to declare your faith in Jesus. Draw near to him through Jesus Christ. He will draw near to you through Jesus Christ. Obey the gospel this morning. Say that you believe in Jesus. Turn away from sin. Cleanse your hearts. Cleanse your hands. Be baptized. Have your sins washed away. God will be in your life. And live your life every day, growing closer and closer and closer to him. If you want to do that this morning, come forward and say you will.
Ye Christian soldiers, rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in vales below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world.
Thank you, Doug. Glad to see everyone this morning and hope you have a very blessed afternoon. We'll see you this evening. At this time, we'll have our closing.